Hebrews 12:1. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank You this morning for everything You've done. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for allowing us, dear Lord, to be in Your house once more. Thank You for Your help and Your strength, dear Lord. And when there's things that we face, things we go through, things we're concerned about, dear Lord, that we've never faced, we thank You this morning that You have. And we thank You, dear Lord, that You can help us and do help us every day in our lives, no matter what we may face. Dear Lord, whether it be things we were expecting or things that we were not expecting, dear Lord, that You're there with us every step of the way. We thank You for that. Dear Lord, I pray this morning as we open up Your Word once more that You would take and hide me behind the cross, dear Lord. Give me Your Holy Spirit's unction, help this morning, dear Lord, that, dear Lord, what needs to be accomplished in my heart and in each and every heart here today would take place, dear Lord. Help us to respond as You speak to us. Help us, dear Father, today, I pray. Do Your will in this place, and we thank You ahead of time. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, sometimes you come on, we talked about this in Sunday school this morning a little bit, sometimes you come on embarrassing situations, right? And sometimes you come along in situations that are kind of unique, but we've all faced these types of things. How many of you have ever been out, say, at a restaurant? I think about this example because it happened here recently. It was Daniel with somebody. Not too long ago, but you ever been out at a restaurant, or you'll be somewhere maybe in school or something like that, and you'll notice across the room there's somebody that's sitting there, Brother Donald, and they're doing just like this.
Staring at you.
Y'all ever had that happen before? No matter what, you look back over again and that person's still. And what do you want to say to them when you see them doing that?
Stop staring.
Stop staring, right? But there's a thought that comes to my mind that a lot of times, especially in school, what'd you say?
Stare back at them.
Stare back at them. Back in school, if that would happen back in school days, if somebody was just sitting there just staring long enough, what would you wind up saying a lot of times?
Take a picture. It lasts longer.
What are you looking at? What are you looking at? Right? And I was looking as I Googled that saying this week. It was kind of interesting because be careful when you Google that, by the way. But anyway, be careful when you Google certain things. But anyway, that's a whole other subject. But when I Googled that, it come up with all these different answers that you could give when somebody says, "What are you looking at?" And sometimes, you know, some people say, "I ain't figured it out yet," you know, or that type of thing, you know, and all these types of things that we do. But I thought about, the Lord gave me this thought as these verses were come across in my heart and mind this week. In verse number 2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." The Lord gave me this thought, what are you looking at? What are you looking at this morning? I don't know about you, but there's been times, the other day we was out eating somewhere, this was a few weeks back, and Daniel was sitting there, I think it was Daniel or David, one, it might have been David, I don't know, kept staring at somebody. Just kept staring at them. We kept saying, "Stop staring. Don't do that. That's not nice, you know, don't do that." Sometimes you can't, some people you can't help but stare at, right? And but anyway, I'll leave that alone. But you think, what are they doing, you know? But you think about, what are you looking at this morning? Amen. And here the Bible has said, looking unto Jesus. Amen. Simply this morning, He's the author, He's the finisher, He ought to be of our faith this morning. Amen. You think about today simply looking, what are you looking at this morning? I hope that you're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Amen. I hope that is who and what you are looking at. And as there's, if you will this morning, don't none of you say, "Oh no," or run out the door when I say this. But with the Lord's help, I want to give you this morning 6 points. 6 points this morning of what you're looking at. And you're going to say, make sure you look at that clock while you're giving those 6 points this morning. But six simple is real simple, I promise. 6 simple points. You say, I ain't worried about the simple. It's about the short part I'm worried about. But 6 simple points this morning of what are you looking at. When you take and you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, there's 6 simple things, but yet are important things that we see when we look at Him this morning. Notice with me, if you will, turn to 1 Peter chapter number 2, and we'll see the first thing. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 20. 1 Peter 2 verse 20. What are you looking at this morning? When you look at Jesus, you see these 6 things. The first Peter 2 and verse number 20, the Bible says, "For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted by your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God." In other words, if we suffer because of sin, if we suffer because of our own doing, that's one thing, right? But if we're taking and suffering for the cause of Christ, suffering for doing what's right, the Bible says here, this is acceptable with God. It's a good thing when we suffer right and in the right way and for the right thing. Verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called." Because we're called to this, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. That's why we know that suffering is a part of life. Amen. Suffering is a part of the Christian life, especially if we live for the Lord. So we will suffer for that. But notice we said at the end of the verse 21 that we're to follow in His steps. But notice verse 20, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth." In other words, when you look at Jesus this morning, the first thing you'll see is the sinless one. Amen. You'll see the sinless one. You'll see the one that verse 22 said, "Who did no sin." Amen. When you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, you see this morning the sinless one. You think about this morning, I'll just be honest this morning, when I look in the mirror, I don't see the sinless one. Amen. Some people think that when they look in their mirror, they think, "Oh boy, look at me." Right? That pride we talked about. They look in the mirror and they say, "Oh boy, look at me." You ask them, "Have you ever sinned and did anything wrong?" "Oh no, I've never did anything wrong." You'll meet people like that every now and again, right? Most people won't give you that response if you ask them, but some will. They think they might say something like, "Well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so or this or that," but it's rare. But sometimes you'll meet somebody that thinks they, or they'll act like, right? Maybe they won't admit it, but they act like they walk on water, right? They'll act like they're perfect. They've never done anything wrong before in their life. And you think about, but when you think about it and get down to the truth, there's only one that's ever lived on this earth that was without sin. Amen. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's ever lived, that's ever walked this earth, or that ever will walk this earth that was perfect. Amen. He was sinless. Some today will want to try to reason that away and say, "No, no, no, Jesus sinned." They'll want to try to say that Jesus got, sinned that day when He took and ran those money changers out of the temple. But that was righteous anger. Amen. He didn't react in the wrong way. Amen. But instead it was in the right way that He handled that. That was not sin on the Lord Jesus Christ's part. We know He was tempted there in the wilderness at least 3 times. We know the Bible tells us by the devil when He came those 3 times. And all 3 times Jesus gave Him Scripture, resisted that temptation. Amen. Amen. He did no sin, the Bible says. I thought this was interesting. In this verse it said, notice the words closely, "who did no sin." Jesus did no sin. Amen. No sin at all whatsoever. But look with me at this verse in comparison. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And this is kind of interesting. I never saw this before. It's a small thing, but it's kind of neat to see. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible says, "For He hath made Him," talking about Christ, God has made Him, "for He hath made Him to be sin for us." But notice the next phrase, "who knew no sin." Knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In other words, in 1 Peter it said He did no sin. But now in 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says He knew no sin. Amen. I don't know about you, but that's pretty good to see and to realize not only did Christ do no sin, but He knew no sin. Amen. He knew none and He did none. Amen. And so in other words, we can sum it up simply this way. When you look at Jesus this morning, you see the sinless one. Amen. You see the one who did no sin and you see the one who knew no sin in His life when He walked here on this earth. The one that did not sin one time. No matter when temptation come, He didn't do it. Amen. Even when those times come where He was tempted to do things, because we know He was in the flesh like us. Even though He was fully God, He was fully man. But yet, He was the sinless one. He did no sin and He knew no sin in that He was perfect. I'll give you even further proof that Jesus Christ was perfect. You think about there was a time where they took and they brought the woman to Jesus. You remember that? The woman taken in adultery. As they brought that woman there to Jesus and asked about what they should do with this lady, trying to trip up Jesus, if you will, and trick Him like they did many times. As they brought that lady there, remember, Jesus took and remember He stooped down and wrote in the sand, and then He made the point. He said, hey, he that's among you without sin, let him what? Cast the first stone. Right? And what happened after Jesus said that? All of them took and began to leave. Until at the end, who was left standing? Only one. Only one that could condemn her. Only one that stood there and said, hey, who's without sin, let him cast the first stone. Everybody else left. Why? Because they felt guilty and they knew and they realized, hey, we've got sin of our own. There's no way we can stand here. So they all took and left. The only one that was left was the Lord Jesus Christ. Why was He the only one left? Because He was the only one that was without sin. Amen. That's why He could stand there that day. That's why then He could turn even more convincing that He was without sin to look at this event that took place. Because Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go. Be free. I forgive you. In other words, simply, the Lord Jesus Christ stood there, but He also made the statement, neither do I condemn you. In other words, I don't condemn you either. I don't condemn you, but I'm the only one that can stand here because I'm the only one that's without sin. You think about the fact this morning that Jesus Christ, when you look at Him, you see the sinless one. You see the one that was without sin. When we look at Jesus this morning, we see the sinless one. I ask you, what are you looking at this morning? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, back in the same chapter we was a while ago. But we're going to look down at verse number 24 and we'll see the second thing. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 24, down just a couple more verses from where we was earlier. In verse 24 it says, who His own self, talking about the Lord Jesus, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. Notice it said His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. In other words, the second thing, when you look at Jesus this morning, you see the sinless one, but you see the substitute. Amen. You see the substitute for the sinner. You see the fact that, as verse 24 says, that when He went to that cross, His own self, He bore our sins. Amen. He didn't bear His sins. You know why He didn't bear His sins? Because of what we talked about in point number one. He had no sins to bear. Amen. Of His own. There was no sins to bear of the Lord's own when He went to the cross. And so why would He need to go to the cross? Why would He be condemned? Why? Because of what the verse says, our sins. Amen. Because He bore our sins on His body there on that cross of Calvary. We talk about and we say it this way, that as He was there on Calvary, the Father placed on Him the sins of the whole entire world. Amen. That includes me and you. That's what this verse is saying. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. Amen. He bore our sins. He was a substitute for the sinner. He took our place. When we take and we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one that endured the cross, despising the shame that Hebrews talked about that we read this morning, when we look to Him this morning, we see the one that's the substitute. We see the one that took our place on the cross of Calvary this morning. For those of us that are saved, we see that our sin debt is atoned because of what He did. We see the One that was our substitute. We see that that ought to have been us there on that cross. I preached and talked about at my great-grandmother's funeral this week in part of the message from Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Amen. And how what we deserve because of our sin debt and because of us being born sinners, what we deserve is death. Amen. What we deserve is eternal separation from God. We've got a punishment that to pay for our sin. The only way we can have it atoned for is the rest of Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through what He did on the cross, He bore that sin debt. Amen. He is our substitute. Amen. He took our place. Amen. You think about, I don't know about you, but sometimes in school we all had substitute teachers come in, right? Some of y'all have even been a substitute teacher at some point or another. And when that substitute teacher come in, what did they do? They took the teacher's place. Amen. Whatever lesson plan she was at and wherever she was or he was, what did they do? Here's what the teacher left me. Here's the notes. Here's the worksheets. This is what we're doing today. Amen. They picked up, was supposed to anyway, right? Right where, tried to, unless distracted them too much, but tried to pick up right where they were supposed to be. So the next day, when the teacher come back, what could happen? That teacher didn't have to go back and redo the day before. They could pick back up and keep on going, right? Why? Because of the substitute, the One that took the place. Amen. I'm glad to know that the Lord Jesus Christ took my place on the cross of Calvary. He was my substitute. He was my go-between. Amen. He's the One that bore my sin as the perfect Lamb of God without blemish and without spot. That's why He could take that and be that substitute. It's because He was the sinless One. Amen. Because He was without sin, He could be the substitute this morning. I ask you this morning, what are you looking at? When you look at Jesus, you can take and see the One that's the substitute for the sinner. But the third thing this morning, see, I told you I'd go quick. The third thing, 1 Corinthians 5 and verse number 7. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse number 7. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse number 7, we see the third thing this morning. The third thing when you look at Jesus that you see. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7. The Bible says, we'll back up to verse 6, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? We know the picture here. We're familiar with the verse. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. Notice the last part of this verse. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed, what? For us. Amen. That ties in the last point, but brings to another point. The third thing, when you look at Christ this morning that you see, when you look at Him, you see the sacrifice. Amen. You see the sacrifice. You see not only the One that's without sin, the sinless One. You not only see the substitute that died in our place, as even this verse mentions, but you see the One that sacrificed Himself for us. Notice it said, even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Because of Him, amen, the Lord has passed over us. Amen. Because of Him, if you will, and His blood being applied to our account, the day we get saved, we know we're going to heaven. Amen. And we don't have to spend eternity in hell. You think about today, it's because of His sacrifice. I think about there's been many that sacrificed for me in my life. Amen. You think about, I'm sure if I was to ask you this morning, tell me, has anybody ever sacrificed for you in your life? Everybody could raise their hand, couldn't they? We've all had people sacrifice for us in our lives. Probably most of us, when we think about, and I think about sacrifice for us, the first thing that comes to my mind is our country. Amen. I think about all those that sacrificed for us, that have shed their very life's blood. Amen. Lost limb, some of them. Amen. Lost mental, if you will, at times, and things that they've went through and suffered because of what they've sacrificed and what they've given. And you think about there's many that sacrificed for us. I think about You know, even like yesterday, as I was sitting there and listening to the message about Brother Ben Ware, his service, and I was thinking about, you know what, he sacrificed for those people, that church. Amen. He sacrificed. It's a sacrifice. There's many people that sacrifice for us in our life. When I thought about me personally, I thought about my parents' sacrifice for me. And some of you probably could think about some of your sacrifices that maybe you've made for your kids or that your parents made for you long ago. You think about the sacrifice. I think about Mama sacrificing to homeschool me for those 8 years. I was a sacrifice. Amen. It's a sacrifice to put up with me day in, day out. I think about Kelly. She sacrifices for me. Amen. She puts up with me day in, day out. There's people that sacrifice for us. Amen. I think about those that sacrificed and given of their time for me. I think about the fact of my grandfather. He sacrificed for me. You say, what do you mean? I'm talking about, I've shared with you the story before, so I won't go into great detail again, but I talked about several times, I've told y'all about my dad's dad and how we found the money that he gave for me and for his other grandchild to take and to have, to use, to go to college. That was sacrifice. Every week for him to take money, $100 out of his paycheck, to take that money out and to set it aside one day for me and for his other grandkid. That's sacrifice. Amen. To take and to do something like that. That's love. That's sacrifice. And I'm glad this morning to know that that's why the Lord Jesus Christ has taken and sacrificed for me, is because He loves me. Amen. That's why He sacrificed for the whole world, is because He loves us. Amen. As John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave the sacrifice. I think about, of all these sacrifices that I've been given in my life, the greatest one is the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ gave for me. I thought about even this week, it was kind of interesting, and I didn't mention it at the funeral, although I kind of meant to, but there's so many things running through your heart and mind. But I thought about August 22nd, 1992 was the day that I got saved. 8 years old. 8 years old. I thought about, you know, you think about the fact that the sacrifice that God has made for us. If there's anybody who's made a sacrifice and made the greatest sacrifice, is the Lord. He's made the greatest sacrifice of all. Yes, Mama, yes, Daddy, yes, Paw, yes, friends, relatives, family members, co-workers, somebody out on the street maybe someday made a sacrifice for you. A soldier made a sacrifice for you, but the person that made the greatest sacrifice is the Savior. You think about today, the sacrifice that He gave of being willing to lay down His life there on that cross of Calvary for me and you and make the ultimate sacrifice. Why? Because, as I was reminded of the words of the song, He made the sacrifice because He was the champion of love. Amen. He was the champion of love. You think about the fact today, because of the champion of love He is and how much He loves me and how much He loves you, He sacrificed for us this morning. So I ask you this morning, what are you looking at? What are you looking at this morning? When you look at Jesus, you see He's the sinless one, you see He's the substitute, and you see He's the sacrifice. But the fourth thing you see is found in Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. The fourth thing, Acts 4 and verse number 12. Acts 4 and verse number 12. Again, a familiar verse of Scripture. Acts 4 and verse number 12. We're going to start reading actually in verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In other words, the fourth thing this morning, what are you looking at? If you look at Jesus this morning, the fourth thing you'll see is salvation. Amen. You'll see salvation. When you look at Him, you can't help but see salvation. You can't help but see the one who's standing there with wide open arms, even as He's being crucified there on the cross, that says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When you look at the Lord Jesus, you can't help but see the one, even in the beginning, that was laying there as that babe in a manger that was wrapped in swaddling clothes, the Bible says. You can't help but see the one that was born to die so that we might live, as the song says. You can't help but see the one that took and that died so that you and I might be saved. You think about, there's countless songs we could name this morning and talk about that tell us the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, when you look at Him, you see salvation. All our songs, a lot of them talk about salvation. And I think about even some this morning we sang. But the one that the Lord brought to my heart and mind, when you look at Him, you see salvation, is one of the songs we sung this morning, Face to Face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? Face to face, oh blissful moment, the Jesus, my Jesus Christ, who died for me. Amen. You think about this morning, when you look at Him, you can't help but see salvation. I can't help but think about another song. It says, the record's clear today, for He washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. Amen. When I look at Him, I see the one that paid my sin debt, that saved my soul. Amen. I think about this morning, what are you looking at? I'm looking at my Savior. Amen. I'm looking at the one that salvation, that brought salvation to me, that made salvation available this morning. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You think about today, what are you looking at? We're looking at Jesus. We see salvation. But the fifth thing this morning, turn to John chapter number 15. John 15 this morning. At John 15, we see the fifth thing this morning, that when you look at Jesus, you see the sinless one, you see the substitute, you see the sacrifice, you see salvation. But the fifth thing you see is found in John 15. I thank the Lord that once we get saved, He doesn't just, okay, you're saved, that's it. There's more to it than just that. Amen. I'm glad that He just doesn't leave us alone, for lack of a better way of saying it. But I'm glad to know that once we get saved, John 15:5 is a part of it too. The Bible says in John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. The Lord Jesus, He's the vine, we're the branches. He that abideth in me, that abides in Jesus, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Notice this, for without me ye can do nothing. Without Him, the Bible says we can do what? Nothing. Let's compare that with Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4, a familiar verse of Scripture, but I've always liked to take and look at these two verses together, John 15:5 and Philippians 4:13. Because in Philippians 4:13, the Bible says this, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In other words, the fifth thing this morning, when we look at Jesus, we see strength. Amen. When we look at Jesus, we see strength. We see the one that can take, that with Him, we can do all things. Amen. Through Him, we can do all things. But without Him, John 15:5 said, you can do what? Absolutely nothing, if you'll allow me to add a word in there. You can do absolutely nothing at all. Amen. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot do anything. Amen. Nothing. I think about, but because of Him, we can do anything. Amen. You think about today, people say, well, you're just one person. What difference can you make? Oh, that's just one little church down there. But look at all this other big ones or all these types of things. You're just one little group. What difference can you make? When people say things and you think things, and the devil will say things like that to your heart and mind a lot of times. At least he does mine, and I'm assuming he does y'all's too. What difference can you make? You just one little person. You're a nobody, if you will. What difference can you make? I think about that one person can make a big difference. Because I always think about, every time that thought comes to my mind, I think about the Lord Jesus Christ. When I look at Him, I see what a difference one person can really make. Amen. We can take and look at other people in the Bible, even that are, of course, less significant, but because nobody's more significant than the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think and look at the Apostle Paul. Tell me one person can't make a difference. Amen. You look at others in the Bible, one person can make a difference. You look at Moses. That one person made a difference. Amen. And we could keep on naming. I don't know, you say, well, what, name me another one. I'm just not sure about that. What about Noah? That one person made a difference. Amen. Thank the Lord there was one person named Noah that found grace in the eyes of the Lord that said, hey, I'm going to build an ark even if everybody else looks at me and thinks I'm stupid and laughs and nobody pays me no attention. One person can make a difference. But I say that today, that all these things, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. How could Noah build the boat? Because Christ, God, gave him the strength. He gave him the direction. How could Paul do the things that he did? Because God gave him the strength. He gave him the direction. Amen. You think about today, I believe that when it comes to this thing, that the fifth thing today is strength. Without one looking to Christ, we can do nothing. But if we look at Him this morning, we can find strength. If you're here this morning and you need strength in your life, look to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about, I can't speak for nobody else. I told Kelly this last night. This has been a long, hard week for me. I'll just be honest with you. It's been a horrible week. It's been a hard week. And I don't know how I made it through this week. I really don't. Hopefully next week will be better. But you know what? I made it through because of His strength. You've had those weeks too, haven't you? You've had those days that feel like weeks. And that's kind of the way this one felt like, a lot of days, a lot of weeks almost. It's like, is it ever going to get over with, so we move on to a next week and maybe things kind of, you know. But you think about sometimes you feel like, boy, I can't go on. When that time comes, make sure you're looking at Jesus. What are you looking at this morning? Look to Him, because with Him all things are possible. Amen. Look to Him. All things are possible with Him. He can give you the strength that you need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, Paul said. And you and I can too if we'll go to Him for strength this morning. Amen. As our rock. I think about today, when I look at the Lord Jesus Christ, I see the strength that He is. But 2 Corinthians, I like this passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 9. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 9, before we move on to the last point. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. We could read the verses prior to this, but I'll just state it because you're familiar with it. Paul was praying here, asking the Lord to take away the thorn in the flesh. He had asked three times for Him to take it away from him. And then he comes down in verse 8. He says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in the fact of what He said in verse 9. He said, because of that, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, what? Then am I strong." Why? Because of what He said back in verse 9. He's strong when he's weak because of the grace of God. Amen. His grace is sufficient. You see, I'm glad today to know that when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, you see strength this morning. Amen. So I ask you again this morning, what are you looking at? What are you looking at this morning? When you look to Him, these are some things that you'll see. But in 2 Corinthians, there's another verse, chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse number 5. This last verse we just read kind of leads into the next point along with this one. 2 Corinthians 3, 5. The Bible says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves." Boy, that goes in real good with the Sunday school lesson this morning. Amen. In other words, not thinking I can handle it on my own. I can handle this. I'm sufficient. I can take care of it. How often do we all do that in our lives? This is a good verse for us to mark. To think anything of ourselves. But our sufficiency is of who? It's of God. In other words, simply this morning, the last thing, when you look at Jesus, you see the One that's sufficient. Amen. You see the one that has sufficiency. You see the one that's because of His grace, if you will, this morning. His grace is sufficient to meet our every need. He is sufficient this morning. No matter what we face, when we look at Him, we see the one that gives us strength. When we look at Him, we see the one that gives us grace. We see the one that's sufficient to meet our every need in our life. We see the all-sufficient one. We see the one that provides, amen, and helps us through the things we face in our lives. No matter what we face this morning, He is sufficient. There's another good verse in Corinthians that talks about His sufficiency, and that's in 2 Corinthians 9:8. 2 Corinthians 9:8. The Bible says here, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." In other words, that guess what? He always has a sufficiency that we need. Amen. He's always sufficient. No matter what we face in our lives, verse 8 tells us that He's always sufficient. Amen. He's always sufficient. Sometimes people take and you look at things and you think, boy, is the money in the bank account going to be sufficient enough to take care of these bills, right? Sometimes you look and you say, am I going to have enough strength? Is my strength going to be sufficient enough to make it through this day? Because it's going to be a long day. I thought about that with some things this week. I said, am I going to have enough strength to make it through this day? Because it's going to be a long day. But you know what? When you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, you see today that His help and His grace, and with Him, it's always sufficient. Amen. Amen. You always will make it through if you depend on and rely on Him, because He is always sufficient. And He'll help you to abound, as I like what the end of that verse says, to every good work. Why can you always abound to every good work? If you're relying in and trusting in Him, because He is always sufficient to meet our every need. Whatever we have. I think about that song. There's many songs that come to my mind, but I think about the one that says, He's the Lord of all, He's everything I need. Amen. He's always sufficient. No matter what we face in our life, He's the all-sufficient one. No matter what we face, He's there. Whether we're in a trial, whether we're in a valley, whether we're on a mountaintop, no matter where we are this morning, realize He's sufficient. He's sufficient. I know it's hard in the valley sometimes to look up and to realize that. But I think today if we take and we look up, what a blessing it is to see His face, to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. You think about, I'm simply saying this morning, when we look at Jesus, we see His sufficiency. I ask you today, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? I think sometimes we get to looking at the wrong things, don't we? Sometimes we look at things we shouldn't be looking at. And we begin to look at the wrong things and look at things we shouldn't be looking at, or look through the wrong mirror, look through the wrong lens, if you will. Things are a little harder to see. I thought about this morning, just as an example. It's kind of hard for me to see without my glasses on. I can see y'all's figures, and I can make out who you are, mainly because you're sitting in the same seat you do most of the time. Thank you for helping. Amen. But I think about it's kind of harder to see. But if I took these glasses, and I walked back to Mom, and I said, Mom, here, take these. And Mom said, okay, here, will you take mine? I'm going to help you out. You give me yours, I'll give you mine. We'll share. Right? And I took and I gave her mine and she gave me hers. Well, she'd look a little funny and I'd look a little funny. But how do you think she'd be able to see? You think she'd be able to see as good? Probably not. She gave me hers. How do you think I'd be able to see? Not too good. Why? Because the lens is different, right? The prescription is different. Because of what we're looking through, or if you want to be even more specific, because of what I'm looking at, right? That affects how you view things. What you're looking at affects how you view things. You say, why do you say that? Simply this morning, that if we'll take Hebrews 12:2 and apply it and look unto Jesus and look through the lens of His Word and look through the lens of who He is, all these other things become so much smaller. I think about the song that ends. It says something like this. Through the light of His glory and grace, turn your eyes upon Jesus. When we turn our eyes upon Him and we look through the lens that He has for us to look through, when we look at Him, what are you looking at? I think things begin to look so much clearer and so much different. We look through it His way, we say, oh, okay, the Lord's going to help me through this. But when we look through our lens, sometimes things ain't so clear.